Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Very warm welcome to Keeping It Real with Caroline and Sophie. And today we have the great pleasure of welcoming the wonderful Trini Woodall, who I literally haven't seen properly since we were filming Denmark's Next Top Model, where Trini came on as a guest judge, which was just an absolute hoot.
Which one am I going to go to? I'm suddenly having both mics because the thing is, I'll hoard it until somebody takes it off me, which is always better to have a third mic. But I do remember that, and I remember I was in the back end of filming TV series in Denmark, and I'd just been filming around Scandinavia. I felt Scandinavian. I mean, I was watching Scandi Noir on TV, and I then, you know, did a Scandi show, yours, and then we were making over women around Scandinavia. So Tivoli Gardens and all. I went everywhere and did every part.
Because you guys actually bought Trini and Susanna came to Denmark, right?
Yeah, we did. We did 5 series in Norway, 5 series in Sweden, and I think 2 series in Denmark. And it was called, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what it was called in Danish because I wouldn't be able to pronounce it, but it was something like, in Norway, it was the makeover mission, Trini and Susanna's makeover mission.
Right.
And in Sweden, it was Mission Sverige, or whatever, you know, how do they say Sweden? How do they say Sweden?
Sverige.
Sverige. Mission Sverige.
Mission Sverige.
Mission Sverige med Trini och Susanna.
How did you guys even get together? How did it all start back in the day?
Back in the day, my God, back in the day, a long time ago, I used to trade commodities and hated it. And I did it because my dad was a banker and I was the youngest of 6 kids and I kind of felt I should do something where he'd notice my existence. Mm-hmm. And so I left school and didn't have enough anything to get into university. And I just thought I'll go and start as an assistant on a trading floor, which I did. And did that. And then I remember I dressed like a man. I had my suits made by the tailor who made everyone else's suits. They'd all stripped down on the trading floor and I'll go into the loo and get it made. I spoke to people on the phone because I had to run an Anglo-American fund and try and, you know, get investment for the fund. And I'd lower my voice so people would think I was a man. I mean, this was the 1980s, so it was very unusual to be a female in the trading floor. And I hated every single minute of this. Every single minute. The thing I enjoyed the most was going to Miss Selfridge and buying a cheap black suit and then getting buttons from the Button Queen and making it nice and trying to make myself look dressed on the bigger budget than I had. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. Going to Miss Selfridge's, getting a cheap suit, discarding the cheap buttons, getting beautiful buttons from the Button Queen, and all of a sudden you think you're wearing a Belma.
And amazing. The Button Queen was a very beautiful shop in Marylebone Lane.
I think I remember the buttons being a big thing back in the day, and everyone changed their buttons,
and it was starting.
And the belt buckles.
And the belt buckles
on your shoes
had.
As well.
Yes, exactly, and hair buckles and everything. In fact, my first ever business called Bows Unlimited when Princess Diana was in London wearing these hair bows. And this friend of mine called Katie Brain and I, at school still, we were at Queensgate, and we started this little business called Bows Unlimited, and we got velvet bows made, and we went to Portobello Market, and we got little Diamante brooches, which were all I remember then. If we got them for more than £1, we were paying too much. So now, like, 50 quid. Shows how old I was then. And we put them on, and then we took them. There was this cool store then called Scott Crowler, and there was Harvey Nichols, and everyone bought them, even though they might say, didn't stay on that long or whatever. And then we went to New York, and we sold a few there. And then Katie wanted to go to art school. Mm-hmm. And then she said, Trini, I can't do both. And then the business just folded.
Yeah, that's a shame.
It, you know? But that was my first as an entrepreneur.
I was going to say, that's very early on.
I love the fact that being one of six and thinking deep inside, okay, I need to do something to get to get anyone's, to get my father's attention, to get my family's attention. First of all, are your siblings all from the same mummy and daddy?
No, they are so not. We're not that Catholic or whatever. But three are from one, three are from the other. But I think it's really interesting. My daughter is an only child from the relationship of my husband and I. And he already had a son who was so much older than Lila that he was already 10 when she was born. So she always felt, she always behaved like an only child. And I think what's really interesting is I have a good friend of mine, Jenny Halpin, who does PR. Mm-hmm. And she's actually does the PR for Trinity London. And she's somebody who, from the moment I met her when she was 20, was exuded a natural self-confidence. Mm. And there is something to be said for not having to fight for your place in the family and not feeling insecure as a result of comparisons and your parents just putting you, you know, I mean, I don't put Lila on a pedestal, but, you know, she, and she's not spoiled, but she has this tremendous self-worth and she's had a very tough life, Lila, from losing a father at age 10. That's a really tough thing for any
My person. Gosh, was she 10? I was 11 when I lost my mother. Poor Lila.
You must know that that feeling and then for your father to be mother and father to you. So, but still, you know, when I say, oh, Lila, you know, that was good. And she goes, I know, it was great, wasn't it? And I'm like, I'd never have said that.
But, you know, that's really interesting because, wow, Trini, so you also took on being mummy and daddy when Lila was 10. How was that?
It was interesting because before then, the relationship was either I was mum and dad a bit already or I was hardly mum. So it was weird because when I got separated, like you were saying, you got separated, but you stay friendly with your ex.
Very much so, yeah.
Do you have kids as well?
We have two little boys.
So it's kind of, I had this thing with my old agent called Michael Foster and we wanted to write a book called Unhappy Marriage, Happy Divorce.
Yeah.
And
it's so, you know, that's exactly what we had, basically. What we have. I mean,
so
you know.
So it's an element of why you have that, because you didn't argue over money.
150%. I mean, that's exactly why. Because there was nothing to argue over. So it was a very amicable split. Mm. And, you know, the only thing that mattered were the children.
Yeah.
Really.
Isn't that interesting? The moment
so the
money comes
changed.
In, all feelings change.
Yeah.
Right?
Because there's that brings fear, that brings in so many other feelings. And I think that, so sorry, I just had so much to eat very quickly and I think I burped. But
I love that you're human, Trini. That's just great. Welcome to the surface.
You didn't smell my fart earlier, I tell you. But Windy Pop, my partner would hate me saying the word fart, Windy Pop. So I think that if you are, you know, when I split with my, I'd had, of 16 years we were together, probably I had 10 really good years and I had 6 really bad years.
Right.
So by the time I decided we should end the marriage, I was over it. And he wasn't ready to be over it.
We were both very much over it as well.
Okay.
Both of us.
Well, that's kind of, that's great because you're both moving forward at the same time. So Johnny didn't have that feeling exactly. Mm. And he kind of thought for a few years, well, it will work itself out. And he wasn't that well. So, and so it wasn't easy for him to work things out. So there were periods in that time when I was full on mum and dad already.
Wow. Yeah.
And then when he was well again, there were periods when I went because I suddenly, a lot of work dried up in England and I only had my foreign shows. So I traveled, like you traveled tremendously for your shows, but I would travel, get on a plane on Monday, you know this so well, Caroline, come back on a Friday.
That's really hard.
See my kids for
That's
9 months.
Really hard.
Yeah. And then Johnny would be there.
Especially
Wednesday
when you've
the
had
weekend.
The change. I mean, because you already feel a huge amount of guilt anyway. And then
and
to
then
have to go
too.
To work full on to support yourself and your life and everything else you're doing.
Yeah.
It's so much pressure.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you're the most brilliant example of somebody who will completely thrive from it.
It's come through. And I think that in that, you know, if I think of what has given me the drive and the it's not just drive, it's a
hunger.
Optimism, and it's a hunger. So, you know, when Johnny died, I was in a really tricky situation. I'd started Trini London as a, you know, I got an initial investment, a SEIS. I raised an SEIS, 150,000. I'd spent quite a lot of that. I then you know, was not earning any money. So I sold 50% of my clothes, which also I'd worn when I was really thin. And so I didn't want to wear them anymore anyway.
Yeah.
But I needed, you know, and that gave me £60,000, which then lasted me another year. Mm-hmm. So then I could keep it going until I got the prototypes in, I got the research in, I got the beginning of a sense of the proposition. And then I went out and raised £2.5 million. And I did that raise. It took me 6 months, but I did that raise.
Wow.
That is unbelievable, Trilly. That is absolutely amazing.
And I love that you've been on the journey that lots of women go on, and you're very honest about it, because, you know, you, from all intents and purposes, you arrive, you look amazing, you look glamorous, everything looks so together, and you're smiling, and you look very much together, but you've been on a journey. And I think that makes you so much more real and connectable, and, you know, just
but I think anyone that we relate to, we're three women who have had a life, we've been through experiences, and we share them openly and honestly with other women. And I think that's a key, because there's so much noise in where we get information and advice from nowadays. And some of it is just, I do bump into people, I think, you're not qualified. You know, but it's my judging of their qualification. So what do I judge as a qualification? I judge experience, passion for something that's not just driven by money.
Yeah.
And a real knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to have that.
And also what I think most, you know, a lot of people get wrong, especially back when we started out in the world working, was if you didn't have the right qualifications, you weren't going to get the job. Whereas now I think if you're hungry, you work hard, you actually do it on your own without all the backing and all the support, you will get to the end goal if you keep at it. And that's such an important message to give people.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't afford to go to the best university or the best this or the best that, you can still do it if you're passionate about it.
If you're not the kind of person who should, like, I look at Lila and I think, you know, she has a dream at the moment to do Parsons in New York. I don't know if I'm going to want to afford the amount of money it would cost for me to put her through that. I kind of set aside, I sold my house, so I don't have any assets to my name. So in a way, my house is my business, you know, in terms that we look at, a lot of people look at the house as the asset they have. They might have other assets, or they might earn a salary. But, you know, we kind of feel that even though we can't spend it, we feel it's our growth.
Yeah.
And so selling a house was a tricky thing, but I needed to let go. When you're building a business, you want to let go of anything that will give you tremendous stress outside of what you're trying to build, and trying to pay the mortgage and juggle a big house was really tricky. So selling that house,
unshackling yourself,
unshackling yourself, and not worrying that I got a small profit in it, just feeling I had a little bit in the bank. I don't have enough to buy another house. I live with my partner. I didn't get to live with my partner because I'd sold the house. I kind of made the decision before I sold the house and rented it out for a couple of years. So all those emotional and physical and monetary things worked out.
Yeah.
And, you know, when in 3 years' time, the business might be at a place where I could take some money out, that's when I can then buy a property. I don't need to feel, I'm 55, do I need to own a property? You know, I think to myself, if something happened tomorrow and Lila and I were on our own, I'd go rent somewhere and it would be fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if something happened untoward, I'd be fine.
There's something very liberating about it as well. But it's amazing because...
Not feeling that dependency, because I think we can put ourselves in a hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to really change my lifestyle. I used to be extravagant because I was earning a lot of money and I had a very big salary. And then it went to 1/20th of what I was earning. Yeah. So then I had the overhead of that big salary and I had to then... Everything.
Yeah, and I think a lot of women go through this as well when they have their children. You know, you give up
everything
your,
they give up,
your life. And, you know, when you get married, I had a flat and I gave that up and I put it into the house and then I gave up my big job and I became a mom and... Then suddenly you have to start all over again. It's like, oh God, I don't own a house. I don't have a job. What am I going to do? Yeah. But you're in that fight or flight mode and you just
do it.
Go for it. Yeah. And that's what's so refreshing about you is you can sit here smiling, beaming and feeling really proud of what you've achieved, because you have achieved it. You've done it. You've started all over again and done it all.
But I also think the moment that you have the courage to really go for it, there's a law of attraction, which then all of a sudden helps you to have the success, which then helps you to feel safe and more confident, which makes you, it's amazing.
It does.
And all the little successes build you up to really go for it.
Yeah, they do.
You know, you keep winning and then you think, right, I'm not stopping here. I'm really going to go for it.
But I remember, Trini, when we were sitting at wonderful Scott's, three, four, maybe years ago, and you were showing me your little samples, And today I've just received the most beautiful gift box with the most exquisite packaging of lots of different products, varying from foundation to eye cream to eyeshadows and lip glosses that can also be used for the cheek or for the lips, and everything you can like attach them so that you end up having a sausage with two, three, a stack of these incredible products. But I want to ask you, because we've got a lot of women out there who are extremely entrepreneurial and have lots of incredible ideas, and you know, as is often the case, lack the courage to just, you know, go for it. And you came from a very successful business. I mean, I remember when your TV show, Trini and Susanna, was, you know, it was watched by everybody. It was absolutely wonderful.
I wasn't in that place. So I'd had that, I think my career's gone in sort of 10-year cycle. So I had 10 years of you know, column and building up things, 10 years of TV, you know, 5 years of foreign shows, and then this hopefully will be 30 years. But I think that when I was at the place of it, I had the idea for about 2 years.
I want to know exactly, when did that idea come? Where were you sitting? What happened? And what made you think that you were going to go and
do makeup?
Embark, but also, you know, that it is an industry that is
teeming with competition.
So brutal and so many big competitors. Like how?
Well, the first thought I had was what I used to do. So I think any idea that you have, really, in order to feel the tremendous passion and drive behind that idea, you have to want it in your life yourself if it's a product. So I was, you know, doing this Monday to Friday traveling. I sometimes want to do hand luggage, which is nearly impossible because you'll do outfits for each show, but I wanted to pare myself down. So, and always with my makeup, I would mix. Like I would take a Bobbi Brown foundation with something from somewhere else and something from somewhere else and three different colours. And I'd make a consistency and a colour I loved.
Yeah,
and
I that's always so did true.
That. And then in a lip to cheek, I'd mix a lip and a mixed cheek. I'd mix a lip gloss with a powder. I'd just literally be like an alchemist in my bathroom. So
this is hysterical, but I do the same.
Yeah, I do the same.
That's what we always do. Yeah. And it's like, because we don't find the perfect thing out there. So I then put them all together and I put them in these little Muji pots and I'd carry it around before even I thought, let me commercialize this. And I'd be in a bathroom and somebody would say, what's that? And I'll go, this is my makeup bag. And they'll go, where can I buy it? And I'll go, fuck. You know, it's like that feeling of, oh my God, I got to do this before things. So then I was thinking of doing an idea with my sister and we started doing research on it. And I love my sister dearly, but a month into it, I was thinking, this is difficult. You know, doing something with a sibling can be fantastic, but it can be really difficult. And so I thought, you know, do I see the balance working well? And I had this idea in my head, but I think I was too scared.
Yeah.
And my sister really wanted to do this other idea. And I was thinking, I need to just not travel so much. So it sort of evolved. And I remember I was sitting down with two people who helped me change my mind. One of them was my daughter's godfather, who's in finance. And he just said to me, where are you at? What are you doing? I told him about the idea I was doing with my sister. And I said, I've also got this other thing. And as he left, after we chat through everything, he said, why aren't you doing the other idea? Okay, that was nice. Just think about it. Because if you did the other idea, I'd invest in you too.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So then James,
that is a very positive push.
That's a good thing. And he didn't know about makeup, but he knows me and he knew my drive.
Yeah.
So then the other woman was a woman who's a very new school friend, you know, the kind of person that we have our friendships from school who we love, and then we have our friends from, you know, our daughters or sons being at school, which are different kinds of friendships. They're more they're more respectful in a weird way, because you haven't got that kind of...
They don't know the ins and outs.
You don't have the history.
You don't have the history, so you are politer. But anyway, Jane is the kind of upfront. She's the head of beauty at Mintel, which is a big research company. And I was just talking to her about it and saying, you know, this is on the kitchen table, just had it out. You know, taking it from inside your head to on the kitchen table, metaphorically speaking or physically, is the hardest bit of any idea you have. But anyway, I had it on the kitchen table, physically and metaphorically, and I was chatting it through. And then she called me up the next day and she said, Trini, she came back a week later. Said, Trini, I've gone off to the Mintel database, and of the next five trends for the next 5 years, you're doing three of them in this product.
Wow!
You have to do it. You have to do it, because you're kind of predicting where makeup is going 3 years before anyone else is. Just do it. There's nothing else like it.
I want to know what those three trends were.
They were personalization, portability, and cream-based products. Wow. The triangle of my
and
brand.
And actually, that's really a things. Good point. Is cream based is now everybody wants to be glowing. But back in the day, we all wanted a powder.
Yeah, but also the portability of cream based. The portability, you don't need your brushes and whatever, and you just use
So everything's with your fingers. Everything. I mean, I was lucky enough to receive a gorgeous package a couple of weeks ago, and I've done a few makeup tutorials already with it. But it's so easy to use. And this is, you know, as a busy working mum, we don't have time in the morning. Yeah. We have a quick shower. Stick on our clothes, and we just want to take the edge off looking horrendous as you leave the house. So a bit of, you know, sometimes just a bit of blusher and a bit of lipstick is all you need. But I'm loving this bronzer that you've just shown us. I mean, that is unreal. So if you like tanning, Trini's got this cream pot, which is dark, dark brown, and you can just put it in your T-zone area. Yeah,
anywhere where the sun hits, where basically you have less fat between yourself and the sun. So where you naturally get tanned is the boniest part of your face.
Okay.
And that's where you should always emulate bronzer.
Amazing.
I think the issue people do with bronzer, they get a bronzing brush.
Yes, and stick it everywhere.
And they flatten the corners of their face. And I feel, you know, when you said, why did I have the idea? The idea was born out of this, you know, wanting to have great products and wanting to have this portability. But also, a thing that I now respect, whereas I was not dismissive of it, I just... You know, when you, we all three have a skill in something that we've learned over years of experience in something. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you don't give that the due credence that you should, or, you know, the due, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I have made over women since I was 20, since I was five at my, six and a half at my boarding school, but since I was professionally, since I was 25. Mm-hmm. So for 30 years, I've made over women, and I have 5,000 women's voices in my head about, this is what I find difficult about makeup. This is what I find difficult about hair. This is what I find difficult about this. So when I was thinking about what it should be, I wanted that confusion at the makeup counter to disappear, which is why I thought, can I somehow come up with a system where you could put in, this is my skin, this is my hair, this is my eye, and we say, hi, Sophie, this is what you suit. So of the 300 products you see at Tilbury or Bobbi Brown or whatever, these 20 you suit.
Yeah.
So that's what I needed to do with the range, is to make that personalization, because also... There's some basic stats, and I always like to break a stat. Mm-hmm. So there's a stat in England that 83% of women buy their makeup in store. So that leaves a 17% audience for me for online makeup, of which 70% of that is girls under 25.
Yeah.
So it leaves a very small amount. Now I have, in a year and a half, 45,000 customers.
Amazing.
So proportionally, already I'm hitting the top of that, which tells me that... What I would set out to do is to successfully convert women who never before bought makeup online to trust in me and in Trini London to then think they can do it. And that's the journey. That's why, in a way, in my Instagram, I never, you know, my Instagram is not my commercialization of my business. So I don't need to make money on my Instagram. Yeah. It's not my business.
Yeah.
So women, where it's their business, I fully respect.
So what do you use your Instagram for? For sharing, for teaching?
Well, it's like, it means... Every single post comes from, I love it, I hate it, I love it. It comes from a total freedom to do that. And I think there's influencers I follow where they still only pick things they love. You only pick things you love. Mm. You know, there's a commercialization on elements of it. Mm. But you still, you'd only choose something if you really love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has an authenticity about it.
Yeah.
So because I... talk to them about everything. And I give them, I have this thing called the Trini Tribe. And there's thousands of women around the world who join this Trini Tribe on Facebook and Instagram. So what they appreciate is they are advocates. They are my sort of army of women who've bought into my attitude towards ourselves, our bodies, what we put on our face, what we how we dress. Every day I'll try and give them advice and tips and hints on
So you're very hands-on with everybody. Yeah. You respond.
For free.
Yeah,
for free.
That's amazing.
And I'll have like a, you know, I might have 500 comments. Yeah. Well, through social, because through social we've got a million followers in total, and there might be 1,500 comments. We answer every single comment.
Gosh.
So we have a team of six people in social media.
That's
but
amazing.
I do all my own. So every day I might have 1 to 600 comments.
Yeah,
I will answer every single one. And I don't know how long I can keep that up. But in a way, because they know the energy that I put into trying to help them, if they buy the makeup and they love it, they feel not a duty, because that sounds like it's a weight, but they feel a tremendous ability to say, let me tell you how great Trini London's product is.
Yeah.
Because they
they
know that I'm getting up early for them. I'm showing them the Zara sale one day. I'm showing them a skincare product I like or don't like. And there's this yin and yang. And I think there is, like, when you were talking about bigger universe things, which can be a bit mystical and, oh, should we go to the secret and the garden and all that stuff. But there is that little balance in the universe.
And I really like all this, you know, open sharing with each other. You know, people aren't afraid to say, you know what, I have a bit of Botox. I don't, you know, I wear a bit of lipstick when I go to the gym because I don't want to look absolutely hideous or I wear Spanx or whatever it is. And we are happy to share treatments, makeup, clothes, whatever it is, what works, what doesn't work. And I think that's so different to the way it used to be. I mean, certainly for my parents' generation, you weren't allowed to say these things out loud. Yeah. We came out and we pretended everything was old. You know, I even remember doing it to my husband when we got married.
This is very English.
Oh, no, that old thing has been in the wardrobe for years. And the bags would be hidden under the stairs and never to be spoken of. You know, because we were ashamed for these things. And now we celebrate them.
Embarrassment of, I don't want to look like I've tried too hard to get this. Yes, you know, and that's very interesting. It's like, when I look at... you will find this interesting, and I want to see where Scandinavian women stand, but I always like to compare the relationship of mothers and daughters with French mothers and daughters, American mothers and daughters, Italian mothers and daughters, and British mothers and daughters. So I think as British girls, we take the least advice from our mothers of any of those four countries. We want to explore for ourselves what we should. We, in a way, generally kind of rebel against
our
moms. So that's our thing.
Yeah.
And therefore, we are the most exploratory, but we can do the most brilliant or the most terrible thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can be the worst dressed, but the most cool, eccentric. Every fashion designer looks to the cool, eccentric British woman to get inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we
mm-hmm.
look at the sort of Daphne Guinnesses and we look at the Amanda Harliches and all that kind of lot. Then you have the Italians. And it's kind of, they give their daughters the language of coquettism, the ability to be never being a threat to a man, but being a strong woman. You know, they give this kind of, I think they give a language more than anything. The French women, everything is a secret. My secret anti-cellulite, my secret lipstick, my secret,
really
secret, secret, okay?
Yes, everything's it is secret, really interesting.
And therefore they're secretive. Yeah. Yeah. Generally, I mean, art Brits to French women, you say, come on, French cousins, be more open about everything. Yeah. Don't like make us feel bad about ourselves because you're not saying that actually you do all these things to do it. And that also pervades in during the day, you know, in any French cop show, in any, you walk down the street, it would actually be a bit of red lip or a mascara, but never a full face. And then in America, it's like, that's a manicurist you're going to go to, your dermatologist you'll go to at 8, and your facialist you'll go to at 15. Yeah. So I'm going to give you the equipment to create your own existence, but I'm going to tell you this is the expert you should go to. Yeah. I might also tell you you should go to great J. Crew for your pinstripe shirt and you should go to, at you know, whatever, Hermès for your swimsuit. But it's like the French one would just say, you're going to a res, but you pretend to people it's our own. But it's very interesting. And then I think Scandinavia, I'm interested to know Scandi.
Well, I think meanwhile, the Scandis, I find, having now lived here for 25 years, I think the Scandis, both the Danes and the Swedes and the Norwegians for that matter, we remain quite earthly, organic for a long time, you know.
Hair non-done, no makeup and flip-flops.
You know,
nice flip-flops.
I think I went to have highlights put into my hair the first time when I was about 38.
Yeah.
And you know, my father was absolutely appalled that I would, you know, consider doing such a thing because I was used to my hair being very light.
Yeah.
I've never really worn makeup. You know, we walk around in barefoot, we swim in the sea, we ride on our bicycles. We're very earthly in a lot of ways.
But you are naturally very beautiful, which helps.
Oh, darling, that's so sweet. I think
sort of wavy and, you know.
The thing is, they haven't had people conquer them for a long time.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And when you've been conquered or you go and conquer, you just create all these wonderful different skin tones and colours and marriages and everything. Whereas the Scandis have been, you know.
The Vikings came out and
did the bit. But, you know, they definitely married their own. So they've kept that look and that feeling.
Yeah.
And attitude much stronger.
Yeah.
But, you know, Trini, now that I'm moving back to Denmark, it is quite interesting because, you know, something as simple as going to get a manicure, you know, you've got to search quite a number of streets before you actually find a place that does it. So as a result of us having been so earthly and organic and natural for a long, long time, it just also means that, you know, when you're in Denmark, to find a really good manicure and a brilliant hairdresser, but they absolutely are there. And when they are really good, they're absolutely brilliant.
How are you going to find that?
But, you know, it's very different.
On the bicycle and skiing. Yeah, that's true. I think, I mean, I have so many Norwegian and Swedish friends and they're just so fit as women. And, and we did a show in Norway and Sweden and we did it on sort of celebrities. And what was really interesting is the celebrities in those countries were sports stars.
Yeah.
You know, the Langlauf champion and the, you know, and they really were respected women because they just excelled.
Well, you were saying this the other day.
And that's
what's really
respected. You go
swimming before school in the sea.
Well, you know, in the summer months, I would say starting, you know, May, June, July, August, September, you will find the beaches from 5:30 in the morning. People really start to swim. June, July, August, they are there pretty much all day long. And children start school at 8, but the majority of children finish school by 1:30, 2 o'clock, and they are in the sea. And then the other thing is, Alexander, I spoke to my son last night. And it was 10:30 in Denmark, and it was so much lighter than it was here at 9:30. So we have these very long nights with the most incredible light.
Very long days.
Very long days. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I meant. Mm. And we're surrounded by water. You know, Denmark is hundreds of little...
We celebrate midsummer like the Swedes.
Absolutely.
I want to have that bouquet. I was looking at
You're going to have to do a party.
What's she called?
Next year, girls, you will both be invited for midsummer's night.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I'd filmed twice in Norway when they had Midsommar, and I just wanted that crown immediately.
Darling, did you ever watch our TV show Ladies of London? Because I did the Midsommar on the show. Do you remember it?
But we did in some dodgy place and
we did it on King Henry VIII's Island, where all of his certain people.
Was it
people,
Coney Island?
Coney Island.
Was it?
Not Coney Island, but it's down there by
really
East.
Odd.
It was the island where a lot of the people were sent that were a bit naughty. Yeah. Naughty wives
like
or
there.
Naughty.
I tell you, it's in the Thames estuary going out east. Yeah, yeah. I know this.
I bought holy water with me.
Yeah, it might not be at Coney Island because that's. But I think it's all near there.
It was,
and
it
one
was,
part of it's actually very pretty. And
yeah, it was very pretty, but we were surrounded by.
By
motorboats with drunk guys drinking beer, going, "All right, love." As we're trying
to, you were trying to recreate the archipelagos.
Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious. Okay. So we were on a beautiful little island, which was decorated with flowers.
Did you enjoy doing that
show? It was hysterical.
You did. How long did
it came at a great time for me.
We did it for 2 years each.
Yeah, it came at a time. Well, I just separated from my husband, so it was that real moment of. Crap, I'm on my own. What am I going to do? And I said to the producers, I can't do the show because my husband's left.
Yeah.
And they went, what do you mean? That is exactly what we want to hear.
Yeah.
It's more interesting, but it was terrifying.
Yeah. I know.
Because, you just don't know how it's going to come across. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to be myself. I'm going to make the most of it. And actually, it was like having daily therapy because I was surrounded by people all the time.
And
so
I've got to say that it was very, I mean, watching it, I didn't even watch every single episode, but it is very true to character. And although they can make the meaning of certain situations very different than they are in reality, I think that we as people come across exactly as we are in real life.
Yeah.
Although we may at times get provocated out into certain situations, I think it's pretty true.
It depends how a friend of mine does a New York show.
Oh, really? Oh, which one?
Dorinda.
Oh, I love Dorinda.
And she... I
loved
Dorinda
it. That's
for like
savage,
before,
though, that show.
But it is savage. And I had never watched it. And then I put her up on my Instagram because she came in New York to an opening that we did for Trinity London. And there was a mixture of comments, but it was a day that she'd done something quite tough on the show. And they were like, all these, I usually, on my channel, nobody leaves mean comments. It's just fantastic. Mm. And there were just a few kind of very direct, how could you have, you know, and I was like, Dorinda, what did you do? And she said, well, Trini, I just had to, you know, and she's a really great woman. But I think that, you know, I've done very briefly American shows on TLC and I did Oprah less so, but the edit is very this and it's grabbing. And
it's
in England, when you watch TV, they allow it to breathe and to get
attraction. Ours is actually done by a US TV company.
But I'm sure it breathes a little bit more than the New York, 3 seconds next scene, 3 seconds, you know.
No, I mean, it's definitely, I would not want
would
to
do
it.
Would you do it again?
I would do the show again, but I wouldn't
Were they going to do another season or not? Don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah.
It's, it's out there right now. So we're just going to just wait and see. But the New York one is, you know, the women on it are so tough.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, they go in for the jugular.
Yeah.
We would never rip each other down. You know, I think English girls, yeah, we kind of want to support you. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that don't,
but there are,
but we
do.
Will support each
but
other.
But I also think the world has changed. I think there definitely was an era for kind of that drama, unkindness, brutality, which to me it felt like it was for a while. Mm. I think in the same way that people are now being more open about what they're doing in terms of their beauty and their diets and God knows what else, I think the world is changing. And I think people are becoming more and more conscious of the importance of actually not only being kind to our planet, but actually also being kind to each other. And I think that people find that the more that they go into this, they put the kind hat on.
Yeah.
It's extremely empowering and it makes you feel good, and actually, it makes everyone else feel good. And I think we're going into a new wave.
I agree with you. And funny enough, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine who's just started her new brand, which is an amazing brand, and she'll do really well from it. But she said, I'd never appreciated how much support you need from your friends and your network. Yeah. And she said, now I know I will be going to every single pop-up event.
It's only
event.
when you're in it that you realize how
crucial those times are.
I did a tiny little, it wasn't a main party or anything, but like when I launched Trinity Island, I just invited my friends and they were all going to turn up because they knew I'd had a really tough path to get there. So I had tremendous support. And then I did a tiny little thing on Monday night where I just had people to our new office, because it's kind of a fun office off the King's Road, 5 Jubilee Place, if you want a makeover. Mm. And it's and I invite a few people, and like my good, really old friends, they would come to everything. Mm-mm. And there were these two women who I knew quite recently. I'm not going to name names, but they are sort of influencers.
Right.
And at the last minute, they both cancelled without any good reason and without that history where if it's a good friend cancelling, she'll say, look, like Susanna called up and said, look, Esme has been called into Benetton about a bullying thing. I have to go down to school. Mm-hmm. Fine, Susanna, really.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just thought to myself, at the moment, they're just influencers. They don't have something that they own and they're selling. But when they do, they'll appreciate the fact that they... And so I do make an effort now that whenever I go far more to people who are starting a business, and because I generally go out literally one day a week, and that's with Charles for lunch on a Saturday, because at the moment I do not go out. Mm. And then I never ever go to a party.
Yeah.
And I very rarely go to a dinner party, and I'll only go if I know it's a sit-down dinner.
Yeah.
I don't have time in my life today to go and stand at a party. I hear you.
And it's a pain for dating, because I have no energy to date, so I'm never going to meet anybody.
So you
want to meet him at a gorgeous sit-down dinner organised by friends, because this whole hoo-ha of, I mean, even the serpent time that was going on the other day, and everyone's like, oh my God, are you going, and I've got to the point where I like you, Trini, I couldn't think of anything I'd like to do less. I like small, intimate companies where you actually get to talk to people. And I go home feeling as if I've been enriched.
Exactly.
I find that standing up at these social events, it's you're trying to make conversation for the hell of making conversation. Mm. There's no real depth. And I, to be honest with you, I'd far prefer to be in bed with a good book or snuggling with my kids.
Or a good man.
Or working for that matter.
So your priorities change at different stages. And I think we're all at a slightly moved on stage or an evolved stage. Yeah. But just going back to that thing, I think it's really important to think from the other perspective. So if you have girlfriends and they are doing things and they're starting something, I know how difficult it is to start something. And I know that when you know, in that time from when I ran out of money and I then sold lots of my clothes and I hadn't yet got one of the funds committing, and I would go to investor meeting after investor meeting, and I'd be presented by 8 men on a committee who'd all say no because they just didn't get it. Mm. They said, can you just be the tech side or can you just be the product side? I can't see why you should do the two together.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there on the other side of the table saying, because I know that's what women want. And they're going, how do you know? And I'm going, I just know.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not, you know. And then I remember sitting in front of Unilever Ventures, who ended up being one of the investors, and they said, what's your target market? And I said, it's about an attitude, not an age. So it's like, I want to say...
Oh, that's a really good way of looking at it.
And
actually,
I want to say, I'm like the iPhone of makeup.
Because it's so hard to put an age on things.
And I hate putting ages on things, because I think people, we begin to...
We are pretty ageless
judge
now.
People. So it's the agelessness I really like. So he then, instead of other people saying you have to have a target, I said, you know, I really feel that it will be distributed equally through the ages. So one of my favorite things when I went back for my second round and they reinvested as well on the Series A, and I said, Olivier, here are the stats. And I had like 6% of our audience was 18 to 24. 23% of our audience is 24 to 34. 23% of our audience is 34 to 44. 23% of our audience is 44 to 54. Wow. And 6% of our audience is 54 to 64 and above. So it was just like when you really feel something and you really tell the story, because when I'm an older woman telling a story, how do I tell that story to a girl in her 20s? How do I say to her, you know, you grew up when a lot of girls around you are being influenced by people to put on a ton of bass and really put that full look on.
Yeah.
And I want to suggest to you that you should strip it back down. Mm-hmm. And you've got so used to that mask because maybe in your teens you had acne and you covered it and you felt insecure and it gave you that security. You're in your 20s now, your skin is better and you're still doing it. How can I tell you?
Yeah.
The more skin you show, the more fabulous you will look, the more energy your face will have. I don't want to say the more beautiful you'll be, because I think beauty is such a misused word. And I think when I look in the mirror, I just want to feel
good about
myself. I feel good about myself. Yeah, and confident. I want people to not come up and go, Trini, you look so tired. Yeah. But to come up and say, Trini, you look so well. Yeah, exactly. Things must be great. You know, I want every girl in her 20s, the people go up and say, you look so well. Yeah. And you're drawn to people who look well. I'm not drawn to people who have 5 inches of makeup on. Because I feel,
and I bet you get a lot
there?
Of comments about that on your Instagram. Yeah. I get so much feedback from men saying, I wish you'd show my wife. I mean, sorry, all the wives out there who have husbands for me. It's really
so
odd.
A lot of, that's a whole other story. That the husbands are actually,
but the husband's like, please tell the wife not to pile on the foundation. Because there was an era of people really piling on the makeup, the eyes, and you go out and you look like a completely different person. Now, when you go home with that person, you must be quite shocked when they take all their makeup off. I mean, you know, it's not, it's not, I don't think it's a very nice, healthy, glowing look.
But I think there's a balance between, ultimately, I probably do 70% of what I do for me.
Yeah.
And I do 30% of what I do for the people around me.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm going to Lila's school, would I dress in sequins? I probably would, actually, I wouldn't care. But I just, I wouldn't want her to be embarrassed by me.
Yeah.
But generally she wouldn't, because I'm a kind of okay mum to take to school. with Charles, you know, I came in the other day and I just put this kind of Broderie Anglaise dress on for an Instagram and a hat and a bright lip.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone on Instagram loved it, but I hadn't put the post up. And then I went home and he went, what is that on your lip? And I go, it's one of our best-selling colours in red. And he goes, so doesn't suit you.
Oh.
And I was like, maybe think, huh?
Yeah, that's
and
not
then,
what you want to
hear. But through the day, I thought, I love this lip.
Yeah.
But I feel if I wear this lip, what I'm doing around is very severe.
Yeah.
And Charles has weirdly seen me at that lip with my hair all down and no other makeup on. And he said to me, that's a great bright
lip.
Yeah. And it was the context of how I wore it.
Yeah.
So, well, if I was going out for dinner with Charles, would I not wear that lip again? No, but would I wear it in a way that he'd say, I love that?
Yeah.
I never usually like a bright lip.
You want
to
get the Scandi vibe going with the red.
Yeah, exactly, where they have no
less
other
is more.
Than just
Yeah.
So, Trini, how big is the collection now? And exactly what does it comprise of? And how do you buy it?
Yeah, no, how do you go on?
Yeah, but also how easy is it for someone to go online and decide what is the right what are the right colors for her? I mean, your foundation, your BFF is extraordinary, because that obviously links, well, it obviously becomes the color of your skin straight away. But how easy is it to select everything else?
So I can only give you stats. So of when you look at makeup brands, online makeup brands, you look at something called a churn, and a churn is what proportion of people come back again. So Glossier, I think, probably has quite a high churn, that there's a huge market, but they might go in and, you know, there's a consistency in the market. But so our churn is very low. So we have people who come in and they buy. We thought, like, in that first little business thing, with they'll buy two things and then they might come in.
What price point are we looking
at? They're like from 16 to 35.
So you can afford to try a little pot, sample it around.
Yeah,
and,
but depending on the formula. So our BFF is £35. It's in a tube, but it comes with a little teapot. So you put a pumps in a week's supply and you put it on your stack. Because everything must feel, and you can take it everywhere.
Right.
So with it, what we discovered, like the first year, we did a third again of what we thought we'd do financially. Yep. And we ended up, at the end of that year, we'd shipped to 44 countries.
Wow.
And we had like 10% America, 10% Australia. Amazing. So really interesting reach.
Yeah.
And that women were buying an average of £80 of product. Mm. And we thought they'd buy an average of £40 of product. Because I think they
but
came
to buy... But
for
£80, you can get a few pots,
you can
which
get
is
like
great.
A whole
so you can do your whole face.
But I think Match to Me worked tremendously well for women who thought, I know my hair colour is brown. Yeah. I know my eyes are green. And then on the skin, you go along and you can watch a video of somebody talking about their skin, how mm-hmm. it behaves in the sun, whether it's sensitive. And you think, OK, that's me. Mm-hmm. But then there was going to be an element of women who didn't get that. So we started mm-hmm. something called the Trini Tribe model. So on the site, which I love the most, and it's a big other part of what I really believe in strongly, is we have 88 women. Mm-hmm. And they go from age 16 to 86. Mm-hmm. And you can sort them out by skin tone, by hair colour, mm-hmm. by eye colour. And okay. they have 5 different looks on.
And this is a website. Oh,
wow. This is on Trini London.
This is on Trini London.
So you can look okay. at the Trini Tribe models okay. and just, they'll all come up, these women.
Yeah.
So you could look, if you're in your 70s, you know, if you're 80,
you can get inspiration.
You might look at the 80-year-old woman. Yeah. If you're 20, you can look at Anna, who's 18.
Yeah.
You know, if you're my age, you might want to look at Alex, who's 45, because you don't necessarily think, am I convinced that a 20-year-old, I've been sold that all my life, that an 18-year-old girl has sold me a foundation and I'm getting 30, 40, 50, 60, but do I really want to be that woman?
And do you have, like, you start with your base, which is your BFF cream, so that's what you always start with.
I feel
everybody should have that.
That's my biggest selling product.
And then you build up on the layers on top. Depending on what you want to wear.
You know, if you have rosacea or acne, you put Just a Touch, which is a foundation which really covers, but
and that comes in the little pot as
little
well.
Pot.
Okay.
And then you have a lip and cheek shades, mm-hmm. you have lip shade, you have cheek shade.
So you can do
this,
you can take one pot for your lip, one, and the same pot you can use on
lip
your cheeks.
So I have a lot of things which are a lip and cheek combo.
That's really good.
And then some of the dark shades on lip and cheek I put on my eye.
Yeah.
Because they very are multitasking. So I might take 6 things which can do 12 things on my face.
Yeah. So you can go from day to night and you can refresh throughout the day just carrying around your little tiny pots. It's actually a brilliant idea. And for traveling.
For traveling. So we've got this year, it's so we're now at about, we have about 90 SKUs. And then we're going to start skincare next September.
Amazing. This is so exciting.
Wow.
Now, being a very organic Scandi, my next question to you is, how clean are your products?
So it's really interesting, the clean question, because when I very first started this brand, there was like, you'd do a survey and there would be the aspiration to buy clean things and the reality of what you actually bought. And there was a big, you know, in Scandinavia, if you ask that question, it's a far smaller divide, because those people who say, I want to be really clean, will only buy really clean. Mm. Whereas there was a feeling 3 or 4 years ago, of, I want to feel there's not bad things in there, but if I love this product, would I not buy it because of that? So as I was developing it, I thought, I want to use ingredients, because every ingredient, even if it's a natural ingredient, is a chemical reaction that creates something. You know, they're all chemicals, but, you know, samphers, they're also... We're paraben-free, we're vegan, 90% of our brands, we're cruelty-free, 100%. We're a part of something called Positive Luxury, which have a real... To be a part of that and to have the little butterfly stamp, you have to have an efficacy that you've, you know, have a transparency through the person who you buy your products from, and then that factory where they buy their raw materials from and what their efficacy is like. Because sometimes two away, you sound clean, but you're not clean.
Yeah.
Or I'm... You know, so Positive Luxury is about, you know, are you doing the best you can do within your category to offer something which is helping the environmental, you know, like packaging is a big thing.
Yeah.
So our pots are all reusable. So we always say, put your earrings in them, put your pills in them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, don't feel when the pot is empty, you throw it away. You shouldn't. It's a beautiful pot.
Yeah.
And then... We're going to have an opt-out.
And can you refill your makeup even or not?
No,
not yet.
Because they have to be set.
So
if you thought, okay, I'm going to buy that product again, you'd buy it again.
Okay.
Okay. But the thing is, I have
And they must last for quite a long time, though.
They last a year.
I mean,
that was the hardest
That's
thing for
pretty
me
impressive.
Is how long they last. It's like, in a way, if they last 6 months... Would I have sold more? But we sold 5 times what we thought we'd sell. So I'm unbelievable.
Which is amazing. Because I was thinking, now that I'm moving to Denmark in 24 hours, I obviously have had to go through a lot of stuff. And I realized, you know, at the back of my cupboard, how many various cosmetic things that might have been there since I moved in. And I started thinking, I wonder what the shell life is of various products. And then I read an article about the fact that really, in all honesty, it is between 6 and 24 months, slightly depending on how many preserving chemicals are in the product. So obviously, the more organic and natural you go, the lesser of a sell-by date. So do you think, Trini, as a... You know, as a thumb rule, should you always be thinking, if you haven't used up your product within 12 months, bin it?
like I would say sun cream, if you went on holiday and you left it in the sun and you go on another one 9 months later, bin it, because the SPF is gone if you've left it in the sun.
Yeah.
So I'd say that for sure. And that's the thing people least think about, because it sits in the sun and the chemicals just go. I think mascara, as soon as it starts smelling, you bin it. And you know, you get that slight odor, because a lot of people with mascara, they'll go in and they'll do this with a mascara brush to get the stuff out. And what they're doing is pumping oxygen in there, and it's oxidizing inside quicker.
Yeah.
So with mascara, I'd say definitely 6 months maximum. I'd say anything over 6 months is smelling and you have a bad sense of smell and you should get rid of it.
And especially if you've got a cold or anything like that, you should refresh it as well, shouldn't you? Because they carry infections very easily. Very and that's the same with lip glosses. Yeah. Don't share them if you're not well.
And also when the perfume starts changing colour.
Yes, that's true. I mean, when your vitamin C starts looking orange, you know, all those things. But I think a rule of thumb is... things can do up to 24 months, because don't forget also you have to think where you bought it from.
Yeah.
Because if you bought it from somebody who was a small company and they bought a little bit of stock and it took a long time to move, they might have a much older batch. So like the shelf life of my products is, I think, 24 months after opening on some and 12 months after opening on others. And I don't think anything is 6 months, but I know how long it's been sitting on the manufacturer. So we've had a very high turnover of products. So, you know, if I sold BFF really slowly, it might have had a year in the warehouse and then it's going to have 2 years after that. The thing is, I run out of BFF and there's wait lists all the time. So I never had that issue. But there are some manufacturers who, they might say 24 months, but you don't know when it was made.
Yeah.
So you have to be a bit careful.
Sure.
Yeah.
If people go onto your website and they like a lot of the things, but they're thinking, I'm on a bit of a budget, I wish I could try it. Like when you go into Boots, you can try a certain of the Maybelline and L'Oreal products. Is there anywhere to try your products?
There is. We sell at Fenwick in Bond Street. We're always tying every week, we shan't tell me. We're either the first or she's the first. So nice. So, I mean, she sells in 19 places in London, so it's a small triumph. But it just makes me feel happy, because it's like, it's a very nice store and they don't have online. So in a way, it's a great proposition for us, because I don't ever want somebody else to be selling us at the moment online.
But I think this is super cool that there is actually a place where you can go try out Trini's products. Fenwick on Bond Street.
So I'm going to pop down to the King's Road.
Yeah, you go to the King's Road. So you go online, Trini London, you go to visit us, and you can book a 45-minute appointment, or you can walk in to any of the locations in New York as well on 36 East 57th Street.
That's brilliant.
But the idea is, what I love about booking an appointment, which is redeemable against product, is you go in, you could be that 25-year-old we talked about who's listening to this conversation and thinking, actually, shall I make my base a bit different?
Mm.
Or you could be a woman in her 40s or 50s who's thinking, I've done the same makeup since I was 20. Because women tend to stick with the makeup in the era. I'll tell you two facts. Men dress in the era in which they felt they had their first sexual conquest. And they stick with that style a bit.
What do you think that means for my my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, who a lot of his friends said he skipped his 50s and 60s and has gone straight to 70. Okay,
all right, I don't know what that says. I have no idea. But women tend to wear makeup in which they felt they're most beautiful. So if women continuously think, I feel great in this decade, they're probably wearing very ageless makeup. But if in the 80s they felt they're most attractive, that's when I'll come across women in their 50s who still have quite a hard black eyeliner, a strong lip, quite defined for something where in that decade perhaps you need to soften your application.
Mm.
So really just, it's a reset button. It's a kind of, should I rethink my routine? And you go in and you sit down and we've got fabulously trained people and you have 45 minutes for you, or you go with a girlfriend
and
you do it together.
Can I ask what you've got on today? Because you natural, but very glossy.
BFF. And then I've got on BFF Eye, which is an eye serum and a concealer, had a baby and produced this.
Right.
And then I've got on the Ravages of Sasha Lip Love, because I ate a very good mozzarella parmesan sandwich, which is all over my mouth. And then I have on my eyes, I think I have Wisdom, which I was colouring.
Wisdom, that's a great colour.
Yeah, it's a really nice
neutral. And No liner. No liner, just Wisdom.
Eyelashes. We were meant to launch mascara next week, and I have an issue with the packaging, so I've sent it back and we won't launch it for 9 months.
What a pain.
Yeah. But I couldn't afford to get it wrong, because it's a very unusual proposition.
And
it's
also, once you do something, you can't take it back.
You can't. And I just, like, we have to dump quite a lot. Yeah, it's going to be tricky,
shame.
But But I'd rather...
Can you not do it without the packaging as a promotional thing?
No, because it's the actual thing it comes in. Oh. It's this kind of dual product. It's not just a mascara. And it, we did innovative tooling and everything. It's a big project.
Okay.
So I'd rather get it right because I feel I want it to be... Mascara is one of the hardest things to convert a woman on because it's like, I'll do everything that I'll try, but my mascara is the last thing to go, mascara and foundation.
True.
And so I want people to think, I won't even think about it.
Okay, well, we'll wait for
that. How exciting that is. Well, darling, truly, it was so good to have you on today.
Thank you for
coming
on.
So nice to see you after this
I could sit in this kitchen all afternoon and chat to you girls because it's great conversations, but it was very
nice. Well, we'll get you back for round two when you're launching your mascara.
100%.
And we'll get you back and have a chat. And we'll, in the meantime, pop into the King's Road so we can learn how to use everything.
Absolutely.
And share with our lovely followers where to buy and what works on us.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much. Lots of love. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.